Going to school just for school's sake. That doesn't make sense. No, we go to school to learn things. Why? Because once school is over, we need to take what we've learned and, yeah, you got it, apply it. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're going to take what we've learned out of Romans and begin the application process. We're going to learn how to apply all that we've learned here in the first 11 chapters of Romans. We invite you to join us today. This is Abounding Grace. And our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon, takes us back to chapter 12 of Romans today. It's a message he has simply entitled, Now Let's Talk Application. So let's do just that, shall we? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
I remember watching a Buddhist, and he was describing his experience, his transformation. And the Eastern religions are obviously very much growing in our time in the West. But it was fascinating. He wanted to provide for people. The room was packed full of people, and he wanted to provide for people the key to a tranquil, peaceful, and happy life. And he says, here's how you obtain it. I had a house full of trophies. This is a Buddhist, keep in mind. On every wall, all of my trophies, everything that I'd stored up, all of my life, all of my goods, I had achieved so much, the man was filthy rich. All of my earthly treasures were in this high-rise apartment. I think it was in New York. And he said, one day it dawned on me, I'm not happy. So, he says, I locked the door of the apartment. I took the key. I gave it to the manager. And I said, do with it whatever you want. And I moved to an island. And I lived on that island for 6 months, and I found happiness. That was his message of transformation. The Dalai Lama was a few years back in Seattle. Thousands flocked to hear his principles for living. Let me give you his principles for living. Take into account that great love and great achievements involve great risk. When you lose, don't lose the lesson. Follow the three R's: respect for self, respect for others, responsibility for all your actions. Don't let a little dispute injure a great friendship. When you realize you've made a mistake, take immediate steps to correct it. Spend some time alone every day. See? Live a good, honorable life. Don't bring up the past. Good principles for living? It's not so far off from the number one seller years back in Christianity. Joel Osteen's Have Your Best Life Now. Let me give you his seven principles for living. Keep pressing forward. Be positive toward yourself. Develop better relationships. Form better habits. Embrace the place where you are. I've never quite figured out that one. Develop your inner life. Stay passionate about life. I could go on and on tonight. What was different between the pastor's principles and the Dalai Lama's principles? Nothing. You could develop as good of an ethic as a non-Christian, and you could lead a very successful and happy earthly life, I suppose. But it will never be born again of the powerful Holy Spirit who gives genuine life. The core of the Christian message today is very similar to the ethical principles we hear from the Dalai Lama. This is the stuff the Bible warns about that has a form of godliness but denies its power. And it's really important to say the Apostle Paul impressed that home to believers. There is stuff that has a form of godliness. It sounds good, but there's no power in it. There's no real power. And what is Paul now doing? That's why it's so important to say you don't get to living without the message. You don't start there with people. Else we're no better than any other religion of this world. And the Heidelberg understood this. The Heidelberg, in question and answer 2, asked the important question, what 3 things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? And there's 3 things you've got to know, you've got to understand, that you've got to give your mind to. We are a people of the book. The first is how great your sin and misery are. And the second is how you're set free from all of your sin and misery. Well, that's Romans, the first 2 chapters. And chapter 3 was the first one. The second one was all this grace that we've studied. But we never neglect, and we shouldn't neglect, the third thing we need to know, how we are to live thankful to God, how we are to live thankful for being set free from all of this misery. And this is important tonight because there is a necessity for us to know how to live, and we should never refrain or fear talking about that, but we first have to be taken by the grace gospel of Jesus, or it won't mean a thing. And that's why we have perpetually studied the life of Abram. And you'll notice this, that as we go through the law, how to live didn't come till 430 years later, till after the covenant of grace given with Abram, to illustrate this very point, to teach us the grace. This is what Christianity operates upon. And then the law was given. And so the message first has to bring us to tears, and it has to split us. I mean, it has to affect us, that God split open his son, and that he gave his son for us, and that God's wrath is propitiated, and that he is satisfied, and that his sinners will never have to face the torments of hell. And then we talk about living. And that's important because there's the danger in preaching to say, and to get up and to say, well, you know, God did his part. And you guys need to straighten up now. I've heard so much preaching this way. You need to straighten up now. You need to get with the program now. And it's not motivated correctly. They're using condemnation to motivate it. God doesn't motivate new obedience that way. New obedience is not motivated by making you feel like you're all going to hell. That doesn't motivate change. That motivates getting mad. And that motivates a hardening of the heart, unless the Spirit of God is working. And so notice what's motivating this tonight. I beseech you, therefore, I appeal to you, I exhort you, therefore, in view of the mercies of God, that you've received all of this mercy. Now let's talk about how to live. So it's very similar to like being a slave, I suppose. A slave who was beaten all of his life by a cruel master, lived in the pig pen, was scrawny, was hated, was abused, was ready to die, and a new master comes and frees him. Frees him from that old way, and he cleans him up, and he feeds him, and he loves him, and he protects him, and he gives him a seat right at his own table. This slave now is no longer a slave. He's a free man. He set him free. What is the slave going to say? The slave is going to say, how can I thank you? And what is the new owner and master going to say? You can thank me by not going back to the pig pen. Don't go back to the pig pen. Don't do it anymore. Now we're ready for application. And it's an important thing to say today, isn't it? I exhort you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, since he's done this for you and it's not in question, I want you now to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What does that look like? I think it's helpful to first say what it's not. When you talk about sacrifice, there was a long history to that. And here are Jews and Gentiles in a church, and everyone is thinking blood. Everyone is thinking bringing of offerings. You had thousands of years of bringing the blood of bulls and goats. And remember how that all ended up in Isaiah, where the Lord says, I was weary of it all because nobody was coming with a genuine heart in worship. I don't want that, says the Lord. It's as if the Lord is saying to us tonight, you don't accomplish this. Blood's done. Blood has already been shed. Your response is to be so believing and so trusting that you now present your whole body as a living sacrifice of thanksgiving to your God. All of your affections, your desires, your heart, your mind, all of this now, since you've been bought with a price, should be viewed as being given now to present, and I'll get to the purpose here, present yourself as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, holy to the Lord, alive from the dead. What's he talking about? Remember when Jesus, in John 13, they had all walked in the room and there was the water, the jug and the towel, and they all come and they sit down and no one wants to get up and do what should be done because usually there was a slave standing there, and Jesus gets up and he girds himself. That was a whole visual for them of the incarnation. That Jesus would get up from the Father's throne and from the throne in heaven, and that he would come to this earth taking on our rags, and that he would stoop to save sinners, giving his life to save sinners. That so moved the Apostle Paul that I believe Philippians 2 is directly motivated by what he saw in John 13, in the whole gospel story, but especially in John 13, when he said, "Let that mind now be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Now, Jesus, right after that event in John 13, says, looks at them after he'd washed their feet and says, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" And then he says, "You go do that likewise to your brethren." What always seems to get missed in this discussion is what Paul in Ephesians 2 then applies to himself after he talked about what Christ did. In other words, we obviously couldn't lay down our life to bear other people's sins. No one can do that. So then what does that look like for us? How do you go forward? Well, he applies it. And listen to what he says in Philippians 2, verse 17. "And think of a living sacrifice of thanksgiving." Yes. "And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." The Levitical priest would take an animal and sacrifice it on the altar, but on top of that sacrifice would be poured a drink offering of wine. And when it hit the sacrifice, it would, just in a giant puff, it would disintegrate. And the altar was so hot that it would disappear in a giant puff of steam. You ever been to a Chinese restaurant and seen something like that? It's kind of neat. Picture this. The essential and valuable offering was this animal sacrifice, and the drink offering would disappear. Did you hear what Paul just said about his life? He applied it that way, a living sacrifice, and he said this, "My life doesn't matter. I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And so therefore, let's rejoice together in that." You know, when Paul wrote that, he was in prison. His whole life was given. And you know what he says? He says, "The thing that matters, the reason I exist, the reason it's far better to go to be with the Lord, but it's more beneficial for you that I stay." His whole thought process, his whole thinking had changed now. And his thinking was now that he would become that kind of living sacrifice for the benefit of those whom he served. That's the living sacrifice, that the mindset of the living sacrifice that he's talking about. It drives us to that kind of response. And so what Paul is doing is saying, "I've received so wonderful a justifying gospel, and now therefore, because I've grasped this, because I've tasted this, because I believe this, because this is true, all the promises are yes and amen, because there is no condemnation, and I am free, Soon I'm going to go to be with the Lord. That's really where I want to be right now. That's really where the best place to be is with Him. But there's something greater that the reason you all exist for right now, and He has not taken you to heaven. It's the people sitting next to you. This is why Martin Luther said, God doesn't need your good works. God does not need a thing from you. But your neighbor does. And that's how you show the love of God. He shows His love, demonstrates it through you when you give yourself to your neighbor this way. The goal of your life then being that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to the end, that you would become like that drink offering that is disintegrated, meaning that it's not about you. It's not, and doesn't that just affect the sixth commandment tonight? It's not about when somebody offends me or holding a grudge or refusing to forgive. It's not about any of that anymore, because your interest is them, not you. That's how we demonstrate the love of God. You imagine if we all thought this way? Imagine if we all had this mindset of the Christian life, that we would present ourselves this way. I don't think you'd have a shortage of service. You'll notice, and he'll get into that. Is it surprising that the very next section is on gifts? That's next time. You'll notice that he says here, this is your reasonable service, better translated, spiritual worship. I won't go into all the discussion on that. This is the kind of worshipful response of a grateful heart, believing in the gospel, trusting in Christ that the Lord loves. It's from the good root of faith. It's dedication, wholehearted commitment, self-surrender, if you will. And the apostle doesn't just lay before us tonight the principle. What I love about this first two verses is tonight in verse 2, he's telling you where to start. He's telling you we're going to have a long section here of how to do this. But now he's telling you where to start, and it starts with the mind, doesn't it? Look at verse 2. Here's how you begin. Here's how you start down the path. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do you start down the path of becoming a servant in this kind of way, where you're going to present your bodies as living sacrifices to God? How do you do that? It's really plain. Don't love the world. What a powerful thing to say in this context, isn't it? Don't be fashioned by it. Don't be conformed to it. Did you see it this morning with Sarah? What was the wisdom of the world with Sarah? Well, that was Mariah Carey's song, wasn't it? Hero. The whole system of the world, what it offers, and you know, and sometimes we fall into this. We look back at America, the good old days, you know, the good old days, the good old country days when the barbershop guys were out and everyone was singing and everyone was happy and everyone was making money, and these were just the good old days. We look back upon that and we have these moments of conformity to what we think is good, and we look upon all these things. The Lord is saying that this whole system, the world and its system, is passing away. That's why nothing ever stays the same. How many songs are written about the glory days? How often do we talk about the glory days? The world and its system is in rebellion against the principles of God's kingdom. This is what John says, and Romans will even say coming up here. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And antithetical to that is the system and the principles of the world. And Paul is saying the chief end of the Christian then is no longer to pursue that of himself, to pursue all of the worldly things, but that what he requires is, what he's telling you to now is, as once set free, is that the things that once controlled you, the things that once held you, the patterns of the present evil age that dominate the thinking that goes on, don't love it. John says, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. When you're worldly, it's never about anyone else but you. So notice how he's saying, how he's motivating this here. The love of God should now drive us. A love for the Father that aims in all that we do to glorify Him, present ourselves this way to Him. And so He gives us a positive way forward that we will unpack in the weeks to come. But He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. By testing, you may discern what is the good, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Instead of loving the world, here's what you presently should do. Here's what you presently should form your thinking. Let yourselves continuously be renewed in your minds. Very important, isn't it? Your whole minds have to be continuously renewed. What he's saying is, when you are renewed, what is happening? You're relishing, you're reflecting, you're being exposed to heavenly things and the power of the Spirit. You're being refreshed, you're growing in grace. You're coming under the, in this kind of situation, the gospel preached. You're hearing of the love of God lavished upon another country, upon you. You're being renewed. In what way? By the word of truth. It's the word that renews us. It's the word that refreshes the mind. It's the word of God that purges us and helps us to fight off the worldliness that we experience and are infected with each and every week. Let the word of God fill your mind, being renewed in its wisdom, and you should, in all that you do, learn to discern. Discernment is so important. Discern and practice what is good and acceptable and perfect that He's revealed to you in His word. That will. Now we'll begin to look at the specifics next week, but that's a good place to stop tonight. Do you see the motivation? Only those who've been crucified, truly been crucified to the world in Christ, who've died to themselves, will want this, will desire this. And when you see how wonderful the grace of God has been to you, steady, faithful, unswerving, relentless, pursuing, never giving up, always with you, doing everything necessary for you to be saved. When you understand that and you grasp that, it's then that you're ready to put into practice all that you believe. Anything before that only leads to hypocrisy. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, help us tonight. Clear our minds as we go out into another week. Thank you for renewing us in the wisdom that comes from you, that descends from above. And since you have been so wonderful to us, O Lord, and you've done everything necessary, freeing us, justifying us, setting us apart, giving us everything in Christ, now, O Lord, having been set free, therefore, may this drive of holiness, as we demonstrate our thanksgiving to you, be the pursuit of our life. It pleases you. And you have told us you don't want us going back to the pig pen. And so convict our hearts, work powerfully by your Spirit in our consciences as we are renewed to be discerning. Discerning in the truth, discerning in what is good and right, discerning in a world that pushes all of its very earthly and evil ways upon us. And as we go through this in the weeks to come, how we ought to live before you, may it deeply impact us, and may we be set apart to you, walking blameless as you call us to do, only by the grace that we've received and strength from you by your Spirit. Thank you for instructing us this day. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.